It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Thank you for joining us today. We're in the Gospel of John, the book of John, and we're going to start with the first chapter. And we're going to begin by reading at the 15th verse. And so please, that you open your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 15. And we're going to begin reading in just a few moments. I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, please do. It's at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent spies and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elijah?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou the prophet?' And he said, 'No.' Answered, 'No.' And then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?' And John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth among you whom ye know not, he it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, which is Bethany, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" And then we'll read just one more verse, and then we'll end with the reading and begin the study. And verse 29 says, "And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What a beautiful verse of Scripture, beautiful verses of Scripture that we've had the chance to read today. Now please, let's go to the Lord in prayer now before we study. Father, we thank you and praise you for all the strength you give us. We need your strength. In this world today, there is only one way to know what to do, when to do it, and that is to follow you and listen to you. And Father, you're the only one that can give us strength for the day. Wherever we're working, whatever we're doing, it doesn't matter. In work or in play, in work at the church, in fellowship, whatever it is, you've got to be, Father, the center. You have to be the center. And Father, we know that the only way that you can be in the center of our lives is if we put your Son there. We trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, to save us. We come by faith, recognizing that your Son, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross of Calvary, paying that debt of sin that we can live. And I thank you and I praise you for that. So please, please, dear Father, I just ask that all that are listening know your Son, the Lord Jesus, not just about him, but know him personally. They've invited the Lord Jesus into their hearts so that they can be saved, walk each day, praise you and honoring you each day. Please, dear Lord, I just ask that you'll guide and lead us and strengthen us and just show us your way and will. Saved, grow us. The lost, save him. Please, dear God, please, that that be the case today. What a wonderful study we have. Now, please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us through it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This man named John, he had a wonderful opportunity to be the forerunner. A forerunner at this time was one like the king would come to town. And when the king would come to town, why, they would come and make certain preparations. They would clean the debris out of the road, whether it be rocks or garbage or whatever it might have been, and see that everything is nice and smooth. And then they made certain preparations when they got to town. And so when the king was coming, why, there was a great effort made and an acknowledgement that he was coming. Everybody was to be on their best behavior, and here comes the king. And so a lot of times there would be a forerunner for a purpose like that. But there was no earthly king that ever had such a great honor as what John is going to have here, or had here, as he was had the opportunity to be the forerunner of Christ, the one that introduced Christ. Now, sometimes you think of someone that's coming before is someone of importance, someone that is almost maybe equal to the one that's coming, and they come and they make certain statements and certain speeches, and then here comes the official person. But in this case, John was doing everything he could do to not draw attention to himself and to bring and give all the attention unto the Lord. And again, in kind of review here a little bit, we look at John, first chapter, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." He is acknowledging that the Lord Jesus was not only, as we looked and we continue to repeat this, and it's worthy of repeating so that you get it straight in your mind and in your heart. In verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And then if you jump down to verse 14 with me, you'll find that "the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What a wonderful opportunity that we have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, knowing that the Word is eternal. The Lord Jesus is eternal. Yes, he took on the body of a man and come down here and dwelt among us. But he was in existence as God from the very before time and will be here after time. He has always been, always will be. And John makes that very clear, that the one that's coming is the important one. He's the one you've got to pay attention to. He was before me. Just because I'm coming here first, that doesn't make me more important than him. He is the one to look and to see. Verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Our Lord has the ability to fill us with his power and his strength. Of his fullness, it's what fills have we received. The one that can do it, the one that can change our life, the one that can set us on the way of righteousness. It is so important that we set our eyes and our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. That's our God. He gives us grace. It is all grace. We deserve nothing. If it not be for the grace of God, we couldn't live, we couldn't survive, and yet so many deny his very presence. Oh, my friend, it's a sad day when God is not praised and honored in the manner he should be. And in verse 18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." There's only one way to know God the Father, and that is to come to know God the Son. You'll hear it's a common thing. God has done this. God's done that. You know, oh, I pray God the Father, and He does this for me and does that for me. And all these statements are made. And yet when you ask them, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Well, I pray to God. Well, this scripture verse here pretty well takes care of it. Because, my friend, you cannot. You cannot know God the Father. You can't have any activities, any conversation with Him, anything can be done with God the Father as far as it comes to relationship with you. Nothing can come from that unless it's through the Son, the Lord Jesus. And when I say through the Son, it means you come by faith to Jesus Christ, trust in Him as your personal Savior, ask Him into your heart, ask Him to save you, and He will if you'll come by faith to Him. And then He will take you and introduce you to the Father. It's the only way. So I don't know who you're talking to. Well, I guess I do. You're not going to like what I've got to say. If you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you say that you're talking to God the Father, you're talking to your father, which is the devil. Because unless you've come through the Son, the Lord Jesus, you can't get to God the Father. You can't talk to Him. You can't have any involvement with Him unless it's through the Son, the Lord Jesus. So if you're talking to somebody and you're saying He's talking back to me, oh, I would be terrified. I'd be petrified because you are dealing with your God, the God of this world, and that's the devil. And I ask that you come by faith to Jesus Christ and get that taken care of right now. Verse 19, John 1:19, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" This is a question they had for John. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." So you see, they came out and they saw someone with great power, and God had given him great power. They had seen someone with great power, and so they assumed it was the Savior, it was the Messiah. And he said, "I confess, I am not the Christ." And then they ask him, "Well, who are you? What then? Aren't you Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" Some believe that to be maybe Moses or something like that. And he said, "No." And then said they unto him, "Then who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." Isaiah 40, verse 3. John quoted the word of God to answer these people. He read to them Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "Make straight, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." Prepare the way, and that's my job. That's what I've come to do. I am not Elijah. I am not Moses. I am not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. I'm nobody. I am just one that's coming and bringing a message to you. And he makes it very clear that He doesn't make any mention, any record here of who he is. He is a deliverer of the word, and that's what he wants made clear. He is the deliverer of the word. And I am coming to tell you of the word that is not only coming, but is here. I've come to tell you about it. I've come to introduce him to you. What a precious, precious tone that John has. John wants no attention to himself. He wants all the attention unto the Lord Jesus. And, oh, we need to learn from John. We need to see that. We need to know that, that the important thing here is that we are not seen, but Christ is seen. That we are not heard, but Christ is heard. We need to do that. We can't be the one that sits back and pats ourselves on the back for all the work that we've done. We can't be the one that takes any of the praise, because our God has to have that praise. And there's no place for me. There's no place for me. John makes a statement here that he is not even worthy of whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose, verse 27 tells us. That gives you a very good line on John's mind and his heart and his relationship with the Lord Jesus. A servant would come as soon as you would visit someone's house, and a servant would bow down to the floor and unloose your shoes, your sandals, your shoes, and take them off and wash your feet. That was a common practice of that day. It was done by someone of very low degree, someone of unimportance. And John says, I can't even do that. When it comes to the position that Christ is in and the position I am in, I'm below that. Can you fathom that? Can you understand that? That he is saying, I am below that. That's where I am. I'm below it. I can't even do what a lowly servant would normally do. I can't do that because I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy of that. Now, coming back to the other verses here in verse 25 verse 24, and they which were sent among the Pharisees, they ask him, saying unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? See, John was baptizing. And as today, and I hope that you believe in immersion for baptism, because we know that that's the baptism John used. That's the baptism that you should be using today. However, today it is misused, because many people believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. That is not true. Salvation is a free gift, and that free gift is given to us upon us coming by faith to Jesus Christ. And then we should want to be baptized. And to be baptized is to go down into the water and then be lowered on down into, say that the water was up to just beyond your waist, and then we go down under the water and you come back up out of the water. And so at first, when you're standing in the water, it pictures the old flesh, who you are, your old self. Go down into the water, it pictures you dying with Christ. And coming up out of the water pictures the resurrection in Christ. What a picture. Now, I don't care how many sprinklings that you put upon somebody's head, that has got gonna never bring that kind of a picture. It just can't. And so you've missed the boat. You've missed the point. We need to show what has happened in our hearts. Now let's go one step further. That can't be done by a child. That can't be done by an infant. It can't be done on that person's behalf. In other words, the adult can't stand there and hold that child and baptize that child with a couple of drops of blessed water and think it means anything. A lot of people, when you ask them, they say, well, that's just a dedication. Well, they didn't call it a dedication. The church calls it baptism. Baptism should be immersion. And it should come after salvation's come into the heart of the believer, not till then. And that could be at age 8, 10, 12, 15, 30, 50, whatever age that salvation comes into your heart. Then afterwards, because only then do you have the need and the opportunity to show people what's happened in your heart. Before that, there is nothing there. You have to wait until you've come by faith to Jesus. Then you testify of what's happened. And that's all it is. It's not for salvation. It is for testifying, to testify, this is what's happened in my heart, and I'll show you the best I can. And you go down into the water and back up, and it shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. So please, if you've never understood that before, I hope that you can see that. And you see that during the time the Jews and the Levites and all those were very active in ceremonial washing. And so to see this going down into the water and back up, that wasn't such a strange thing for them to see. But they just wanted to know that why is John doing this? Well, you know, if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not that prophet, why are you doing that? Well, John answers that in verse 26. He said, and John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me. And we've had that word before. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And now we have, he it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch I am not worthy to unloose. And we have talked about that. We have talked about that, you know, you don't get, understand this. You don't get it. You don't understand that I am nothing. And again, the one of the lowest servants was the one that would come and unlatch the shoe and wash the feet. I'm not that high, John says. I'm below that. So you need to understand that. Now, why was John baptizing? He was baptizing because he was showing what's taking place in the heart of those that believed. Those that believed. Now, prior to the Lord Jesus dying on the cross, being buried and risen again, and then he was here for 40 days, and then there was a 10-day lapse between there and Pentecost. And at Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down. Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter. You've heard those words. I'm going to send a comforter. And so that comforter come, and now when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live and comfort them and guide them and direct them in their heart. And so that happens today. Now, the people that John led to the Lord Jesus, he had not finished that work. The Holy Spirit was not sent yet. And so, yes, they come by faith and trusted in Jesus. And then he gave an example. This is what's happened in this person's heart. They have believed. And so they have accepted this sacrifice that Jesus offered, that he will offer on the cross. And so they showed the death, burial, and resurrection. Now we look back, they were still looking forwards here. They had not seen that. We know that these things were done in Bethany, is where this was taking place, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Hundreds upon hundreds of people were coming to see what this man was all about, what was going on. And so now we find in the 29th verse, in the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a tremendous, powerful. Again, there is not a messenger with a message that could have held and had a greater message for a greater person, being God-man. No one had a greater opportunity than John. The prophet spoke of the coming of the Messiah, but John was right there. John is the last Old Testament prophet because he is prophesying that the Son of God is coming, and is not only coming, but is here. There's a 400-year lapse in time between the last of the writings and the New Testament. And so there's 400 years there that it was still and it was quiet, and then John stepped onto the scene to begin to introduce the one that was coming. But I want you to see that he took no glory. He could have said, "Yes, I am the one that God has chosen, and get the spelling right. My name is John." That's J-O-H-N. I want you to get that right so that when you write about me that it's all straight, that I am the one bringing this information to you. There is the Christ. The Messiah is coming. We'll be here very soon. But again, don't forget my name. My name is John, J-O-H-N, and I believe that I'll probably be known as John the Baptist. I think that that's probably what I'll be known as, so go ahead and write that down too. You sure don't see that. They tried to figure out who John was. They tried to coax him into saying something. They gave John many opportunities to pat himself on the back for the position that he had to introduce the Son of God to this world. And he chose to do the right thing, and that is to take none of the glory. And the only comment about himself that he really makes here, and that is here's who I am. And they all understood the level of that servant that would unlatch the shoes and wash the feet. They all understood that statement. And for John to say, "I am not worthy of doing that. I can't even do that." Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful position John put himself in. He put himself exactly where we should be. As we said earlier in the program today, that we just want God to be seen. We want Jesus to be seen. We just want Jesus to be heard. I don't want to be seen and I don't want to be heard. I want Jesus to be seen and Jesus to be heard. John went forth proclaiming his word, and we need to be so bold in proclaiming his word, but so humble and quiet that no one even sees who's doing it, who's saying it, who's telling that sweet, sweet story about Jesus and how he died for you and for me. John held with that. And for him to have a wonderful opportunity, the next day there was John, and John looked across and he sees Jesus, and he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world," the sin of the world. Verse 30, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now we can come right back and look at verse 15. Same words he used right there. Verse 31. "I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. For John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." What a tremendous, tremendous message. What a testimony. What an opportunity. And we'll kind of review those as we go over this next time we get together. But behold the Lamb of God. This is the man that I was talking about. He is the one of importance. I was told to come and to cry out, "The Messiah is coming. Repent. Repent," and they would turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord Jesus, and then they would follow in baptism. What a picture. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. John, very quiet, never seen, but mighty words that you heard because they saw Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?